the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Brains, welcome home. On the Edge with April Mahoney, I have the beautiful, incredible, strong, smart, wonderful mother, wife, and realtor, Amber Hale from New Mexico. She's here to talk about a very tender subject, okay? So I want us all to be very sensitive, but also to pay attention to signs of suicide, be it of your small child or an adult, anyone that's in need. She is here to really open up and share with us something very, very personal. I can't even imagine what it would be like to lose a child and for a child to feel so vulnerable at such a young age that they didn't have anyone to reach out to and they felt safe enough or wanted to really reach out to them to avoid potential suicide. Suicides are running rampant. You know, people are giving up and giving in. So we are going to give this our full attention, and we're going to welcome Amber Hale. Look at her, Brains. There is she. Look at that smile. Is that a million-dollar smile? Absolutely. Hello. How are you today, beautiful?
I'm great. How are you?
I can't complain. You know, I make it a conscious effort not to complain. People always say, well, if I complain, who would care? Amber would care about me, wouldn't you?
I would. Absolutely.
And I care about you. Tell us a little bit about your story and how you arrived at this point and where you are now.
Well, back in 2014, I got licensed in real estate. I had lived in New Mexico for a couple of years and tried ranching. And I'm a city girl, and ranching was not for me. So I decided to get my real estate license. And I joined the brokerage where my realtor had worked and sold me a house. And 9 days after I was licensed, my 13-year-old son died by suicide. And so here I was in this brand new career, and my world had been rocked. We were living in a place that we didn't really know too many people. Not much of a support system in New Mexico for us at that time. But fortunately for me, I had surrounded myself with enough of the right people that all kinds of people showed up to help my husband, my son, and I when our oldest, Thad, passed away.
So would you mind sharing with us what happened and what led up to it?
Sure. So Thad, he was a little bit of a different kid. He was incredibly smart, incredibly kind. He was a little bit of a bigger kid. And so he got bullied quite a bit. And he also had an undiagnosed medical condition that we were never able to ever figure out. But it made him very, very sick. So he was sick more often than he wasn't. And then on top of that, he was getting bullied at school. And, you know, we didn't realize how bad it had gotten. About a month before he died, we found out he'd been turned into the school for threatening to take his life. And we went and talked to the school, got him to the doctor. We did all kinds of stuff there, and we got him on some medication. And he was starting to do really well. He was starting to be normal Thad again. And I went to work one day, and I got this feeling at like 2:30 in the afternoon that I needed to go home and be with my babies. And that was not like me. I'm a very driven person, and I work very, very hard. So for me to leave work early, especially 9 days into a new career, that just seemed ludicrous to me. But I headed home, and when I got home, my son wasn't there, Thad, and I was furious. And a couple hours later, my husband got home, And we had a rule in my house that we didn't talk about one child in front of the other child. So I asked my husband to come outside with me so that we could chat. And we found my son outside. He had taken his life with a handgun.
Okay, now let me ask you this, because my brains are going to want to know. Was the handgun yours?
It was my husband's. It was locked in a gun safe. We don't know how long it took for Thad to figure out our gun safe combination, but he did. And it was a very difficult combination. So, yeah, he figured it out.
Okay. Wow. So fast forwarding to where you are now, and trying to get our head around this, because I'm feeling it and I'm seeing you still in that place. So we want to move you. We want to move you forward a little bit. What was your reaction? Now, firstly, when something like this happens, we think about bullying. I say it all the time. Teach your kids how to kick ass. I'm sorry. But how to defend themselves with their words, with their power, with their strength. You know, because I remember growing up, I was bullied as a kid. And my mother pulled the car over and she made me face the bullies. Well, one encounter with them, it was all over. But you never know. And again, with him being sick and already having these challenges, he was probably just tired. Mm-hmm. Had you had conversations with him about bullying and going to the school and talking to the school and facing the bullies? Did you have those conversations?
Yes. You know, when we talked to the school told us that what was going on with Thad did not meet the requirements for bullying. And that's a whole other episode, April, with the way the school reacted. But bottom line, it was bullying. And I had several conversations with Thad about that. And, you know, at one point he decided to stand up to the bully and kind of tease the bully back, and he got punched in the face for that.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. Yeah. And, he refused to let me go talk to the school after that happened. He didn't want to make it worse.
Right.
I wish I would have just gone to the school.
But again, if you're not getting any support from the school, and you know, in the school's defense, okay, they've got thousands of kids there. They've got teasing and bullying. That's a part of, you know, engaging and learning how to interact with people. So many people are pulling their kids out of traditional schools and homeschooling them, but then they have no social skills. So it's a double-edged sword. And then you're worried about these kids that are going in. You can't even send your kid to school because somebody would go in there with a handgun and or a assault rifle and shoot up everybody. So where, as a parent, do we turn? What do we do? How do we answer the questions? How do we raise our kids to have a sense of self-worth if you're weighing 200 pounds or if you're weighing 56 pounds? You know, what do we do? You know, and that's a very, very tough situation. Now, you have another son, Malachi, who's now 10.
Yes.
How is this impacting him? Because I know that that's tough to have the conversation with him, and he's lost his brother.
Yes. So Malachi, he was 5 when it happened, and he saw his brother deceased. So that impacted him in a way that I just can't exactly put into words. He does not like to talk about his brother. He doesn't talk about that. And he doesn't want his friends knowing that he had a brother that died. And it's hard for my husband and I, but we have to respect that that's the way he wants to deal with things. And so the conversations that we have with Malachi are a lot of conversations around building his self-worth, a lot of affirmations. We're very careful about how we talk about ourselves. Because kids pick up on that. If my son heard me saying, "Oh my gosh, I look so fat in this today," or whatever, he's going to start paying attention to that, and he's going to start talking that way about himself. So we're very, very careful about what we say about ourselves and encouraging him to to talk when he is upset and letting him know it's okay to be sad, and letting him know that he is amazing just the way he is, and just working constantly on building his confidence.
You know, that's all well and good. And, you know, I keep it real. I ask the tough questions here on the edge. But you can't go through, he can't go through his entire life walking on eggshells, nor can you. These conversations are going to come up. Somebody's going to talk about that. Somebody's going to bully him. Is he in counseling?
He has been in counseling off and on. He is not a fan of counseling. And so we have some different types of therapy. We do craniosacral therapy with him, which is, it's a type of therapy that works on your central nervous system, and it pushes energy through your body to help relieve tension trapped in your muscles. Essentially, emotions get trapped in your muscles, and so it works to break that up. What's interesting about that is when he goes to that therapy, almost every single time he has that afterwards, he'll tell me a story about that. It's really incredible just to see the difference that type of therapy makes for him. And I know eventually he's going to have to talk about it, but right now he's not ready, and I just can't, we can't force him.
No, I mean, because it's very tender. You don't want to push him into a vulnerable position, but you know what? Death is a part of life, okay? It's like taxes, it's guaranteed. And so, you know, as parents, we really want to protect and we want to shield and we love our kids, you know, but we have to raise them to be independent adults. You know what else? I've had great guests on my show that talk about EFT, emotional freedom technique, the tapping. You know, how that works amazing with kids, meditation. Are there any sort of group therapy, maybe camps or support groups that support young children, Malachi's age, in working through this type of trauma? Have you heard of any of those?
You know, I haven't. But
well,
I think
you should start one.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you said that, because I was like, gosh, that might be a really great thing for him.
Absolutely. Let him be the leader. Let him be a team leader. Let him have a voice and a position of authority that he can actually, oh, I'm getting goose pimples. I know. That's God talking to me. You know, but really giving him that leap of faith that he can get through it. He'll talk about it when he's ready. But, you know, again, kids do so many things. They do it through art. They do it through music. They do it through dance. They express themselves so many ways. And I want him to be ahead of the curve because, again, he's 10 years old. And he's going to run into a bully. You know, give him some martial arts, a little jiu-jitsu, you know, that. And gun safety. Yeah. If you are a gun owner, I'm a gun owner, okay? But gun safety. And I know that you had it locked up. I know that you would not do anything like that to jeopardize your child. But we really have to be aware of that, and we got to be cautious, because it could have been something else. So now here you are as this parent that has been through this trauma and still raising a child. Let me ask you something kind of personal. You can answer it if you want to or not. Did this really impact your marriage?
Oh gosh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. You know, something really interesting happened that night. I was not a religious person. I wasn't a spiritual person. But there was something that night that kept me from finding my son by myself. And something that night told me that I needed to not let this destroy my marriage. And I looked at my husband that night and I was like, we have to get into counseling. We cannot let this destroy our marriage. And we were in counseling within 2 weeks. And we've worked actively towards healing ourselves. I did a huge fundraiser in my community for 4 years. I raised over $90,000 for suicide prevention efforts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so that was very healing for me. But what I realized in doing that was I was actually burying all of the pain so that I didn't have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And so this year I had a breakdown, And my husband was right there with me, supporting me. And we made it through it. And one of our biggest tools is meditation, actually. Meditation has been a lifesaver for us.
It's quieting that monkey mind. Because again, when you sleep, it's going. When you're driving, when you hear a song, when you have a certain smell, you know, when you see a favorite color, all of that is going to surface. And that is post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, it really is. So again, shout out to your husband. Tell him that I said right on for hanging in there with his family, not just hanging in there with you, but he's going through his own thing to have to, you know, deal with that and think about his son. So now you're doing some work, okay? So now you've gotten back into the grind. You are working with suicide prevention programs. Can you tell me a little bit about programs or a nonprofit that you're supporting in this area?
Sure. I'm actually supporting a national nonprofit, and that's the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, AFSP.org. Their website is incredible. I love it because you can go to their website and it'll ask you, are you at risk or do you know somebody that is at risk of completing suicide? You answer that question and then it asks you a couple more questions and it gives you advice tailored to the age range of the person that you're concerned about. So if it's a child, it tells you how to talk to a child. Mm. If it's somebody that is a veteran, it tells you how to talk to a veteran. It's a really great resource out there. I'm on that website at least once a week, trying to help find resources for someone that's reached out to me. But I encourage parents, all parents especially, to go there to learn how to talk to their children about suicide, because unfortunately in this day and age, it's gonna touch each one of their kids in some way, and they need to have these conversations now. They just don't wanna live with the regrets that my family has.
No. And, you know, it is, it's nothing that you did, you know, and we look at God and we say, you know, why me? And I've learned over my lifetime that it's not personal. You know, everybody's going to get a turn at the wheel, and to whom much is given, much is required. And so, you know, only the strong survive, and you are a survivor and you are a thriver because you're killing it in real estate. So tell us about your real estate there at Keller Williams and the team of four that you lead.
All right. So I have a team of, including me, four lovely women. We are the Hail Group at Keller Williams. Hashtag Hail Yeah.
Yeah. Hail Yeah.
Yeah. And I have a listing specialist named Ashley. Ashley and I used to be business partners, and we parted ways, but back on my team now, and I have a little buyer's broker named Stephanie, and she is a firecracker. She's 21 years old and has been in real estate for 5 years already. My executive assistant, Michelle, she keeps us all in line, and what I do is I coach and lead the team and handle all of the business side of things on the team.
Well, what's the real estate market like there in New Mexico? Is it?
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's, you know, we went through a little bit of a change last year. As long as I've lived in New Mexico, it's been a buyer's market. But this last year, we've seen a big shift, and now it's starting to become a seller's market. And that's really, really exciting for Farmington and all of the people thinking about selling. They can get a little bit more for their property and be a little bit more picky about what they will or won't do with their property. So it's a really, really exciting time in Farmington. Lots of business moving into town, and so that's really driving our sales here.
Hey, let me ask you, have you seen any aliens?
You know, I personally haven't. However, there are a lot of people in New Mexico that have.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, only brains this big think that we are the only people in the universe. There is a vortex there. There is an energy. And they just happen to like landing in New Mexico.
Yes, okay.
But it is a very spiritual place. There's a lot of Native Americans there. There's a lot of energy. There are a lot of souls. There's that. Yep. So, you know, there is hope. You know, and of course, we can't answer the questions. Only our God and our universe can answer the questions. But like I said, I need you to stay strong. I need you to encourage Malachi to be a team leader, to step out of there. He'll talk about it when he wants to, or maybe he never talks about it. But maybe he can help somebody else. Maybe he can help a friend. I think your husband is a rock star for hanging there in there with you, and I'm so proud of you. Tell my Braves how to get in contact with you, Amber Hale, if they want to buy a house, or if they need support, or if they need a reference or someone to talk to prevent another suicide.
Okay, so to get in touch with me, you can email me at amberhale@gmail.com. You are welcome to give me a call. My phone number is area code 303-810-9627. And if you are looking for a realtor anywhere in the state of New Mexico, even if I can't help you, I can match you with the perfect person in the state. So feel free to give me a call for that. If you need any resources for suicide prevention or how to help yourself heal after a trauma, I would love to give you some guidance in that. Please, please, please feel free to reach out to me. And on Facebook, I'm Amber Stratton Hale. And you can hit me up there as well.
Before we close, can you give me one or two suggestions when it comes to the recovery? Because grief recovery is ongoing. You're never going to forget. It's never going to go away. But give my brain something to take home with them to think about if they are in a situation and they're trying to recover.
Okay. I would say one of the biggest things you need to do is you've got to feel it to heal it. I buried it for a long, long time, and it caught up to me. So allow yourself to feel that pain. You have every right to be sad if you lose a loved one. Absolutely, you have every right to grieve that loved one. You owe it to yourself, too. And also, I would say seek counseling, especially in the case of suicide. That's a very complicated grief to deal with. And at least for a short time period, you need a professional to walk you through that.
Right. And lean on your faith.
Yeah.
Okay? Because whatever your faith is, we live by faith, not by sight. Okay? Every time we close our eyes, you're going under. Okay? Mm-hmm. So be strong and keep that smile on your face, beautiful. My heart is with you. Okay? And that is with you. I feel his energy right here. Okay? It's all good. Team Hale.
Hell yeah.
I love you, Brains. I need you to go and subscribe to other edgy conversations on YouTube, on Blog Talk, on Spotify. I need you to follow us and the watch party every single week on Facebook, A Good Person Productions, April Mahoney. I need you to get in touch with Amber Hale, because even if you're not in New Mexico, Keller Williams, it should be Keller Hale, but Keller Williams is one of the biggest leaders in the real estate industry right now. They are on fire, and they have referrals, and they have teams all over the United States. So reach out to them all over the world, okay? And you know, we're worldly, we're global here on the edge. So go in, dig deep, open your heart, talk to your kids, you know, encourage them to be strong. Encourage them to talk about it. You know, snoop around in their room. There's nothing wrong with that. They live with you. You don't live with them. Okay? Know what is going on with your kids in their head. And if you got a kid that's a bully, you better get them under control. Okay? So I love you and I care about you and I'm with you 110%. Bye, Brains. Bye, Amber.
Bye.